Martin Zender and Dan Sheridan again from Dearborn, Michigan, under the cloudy skies that could be a portent of the snatching away. We wait for it any minute here. The Apostle Paul thought it was going to occur in his lifetime, and we're a few thousand years removed from that. Oh, no, we're getting a little hint of sunshine through there. That doesn't bode well, but we're going to be snatched away in the clouds, you see.
Have we seen the sun in the last 3 weeks?
No. We're just seeing a hint of it. The clouds are getting brighter. We don't actually see the sun, but we just hope for the clouds to get a little brighter. Hmm. That's what we're looking for. And Dan and I are standing on the shoulders of some great men. We're standing on the shoulders of E.W. Bullinger. We only know of really two people that have gone into excruciating detail on the secrets of God, the divine secrets, as we call them. That would be E.W. Bullinger and A.E. Nock. Now, we have to call ourselves along that same line. So it's E.W. Bullinger. So your first and middle initial would be what?
D.S. D.W.
You're D.W. Sheridan.
D.W. Sheridan.
And the thing is, I got two middle names, J.J. So I'm M.J.J. Zender. That makes me more scholarly than you, I think. That extra letter in my middle name, people have awe and respect for that.
M.J.J. Zender sounds like a Samoan basketball player with a lot of bling on. So I don't know. That's weird. I don't know.
It's just weird. All right, now we're going to talk about the secret of God. And this is one of my favorites because, you know, people get upset at God. They think that this universe, this world, is just running on autopilot. Even the ones who do acknowledge God will say, well, he just set the ball in motion. He threw a switch and walked away.
Yeah.
Where is God? Now, ever since Adam parted company with Jehovah in the Garden of Eden, where's he been? That's one of my complaints. Where is God? Well, actually, no, it used to be my complaint, but now I understand that this is part of the secret of God. The secret of God is that he is not known. He has withdrawn himself. He has put himself up there. That's why he's called the Most High God in Genesis 14. He wasn't that way when he walked with Adam. Now he's the Most High God. He's a distant deity to most people. And so instead of people knowing God as the provider of everything they have, they've replaced him with this, I don't know, this vague idea of the man upstairs.
Right.
That they don't know him. And so part of the secret of God, correct me if I'm wrong here, is that he is revealing himself in secret to those who love him. It ties in with all the secrets, that he does exist, and he's revealing himself to those with eyes to see and ears to hear. And in this generation, that would be us. And they call him providence. They call God providence, indistinct and impersonal.
And I think the secret of God here, it's in the days of we find it in the book of Revelation, the 10th chapter, and it's in the, starting with the 5th verse, I think we should read it here, and it says,
yeah, go ahead.
And the messenger whom I perceive standing on the sea and on the land lifts his right hand to heaven and swears by him who is living for the eons of the eons, who creates heaven and that which is in it, and the earth and that which is in it, and the sea and that which is in it, that there shall be no longer a time of delay. Now, every time you see the living God or the God who's living, you always contrast it with idols every time. And as you pointed out, one of the great errors of history is changing the truth of God into falsehood and idolatry. And so here we have the Creator. It says there's no longer a delay, but in the days of the seventh messenger's voice, whenever he may be about to be trumpeting. By the way, this is the messenger trumpeting. This ain't Christ. This is different from 1 Thessalonians 4. Remember we talked about this. It's worth bringing this up.
There are different trumps,
in 1 Corinthians 15:52, it's Christ who's trumpeting. This is not, some people make this the snatching away.
Well, because they see the word trump.
Because they see the word
and
trump.
And they automatically assume.
Exactly, so it's not correctly cutting. But in the days of the seventh messenger's voice, whenever he may be about to be trumpeting, the secret of God is consummated also, and here's the key, as he evangelizes to his own slaves and the prophets. And so this has to do with God re-entering into the world.
Re-entering.
As in visible form.
Yeah.
Where it's no longer a question.
Exactly.
You know, like people can
where is God? Where is God?
You know, America.
Yeah, they're going to wish they didn't ask that question.
You know, the Americans and the early founding fathers, you know, we call it Christianity of the early, it was hardly that. It was a mixture of Plato natural law philosophy with a few scripture verses. You know what they called God? Providence.
Yeah, exactly.
It was a non-distinct deity.
Non-distinct, vague.
It was a vague God.
No identity.
But in these days, according as he evangelizes to his own slaves and the prophets, God is going to re-enter history, as it were, visibly, where it will be no mistake who's in charge and who's running things.
Yeah,
and that's what these trumpets bring us to the second coming of Jesus Christ and a takeover, as it were.
And I think we're seeing that in Revelation chapter 16 also. But first I want to go to 2 Peter chapter 3. You know, people mock God because they don't see him.
Exactly.
And Peter put up with this. It says, in the last days, scoffers will be coming with scoffing. I'm in 2 Peter 3:3. Scoffers will be coming with scoffing, going according to their own desires, saying, where's the promise of his presence? Since the fathers were put to repose, all is continuing thus from the beginning of creation. So Peter reminds them that there were a heavens of old that was overcome by water. And what basically, in a nutshell, Peter is saying, well, you're oblivious of the fact that God was very visible in days of old. But now, because of the secret of God, he's withdrawn himself. And I love your word re-enter. Mm-hmm. I think of the space shuttle coming back to Earth with the flaming fire.
Paul
mentions that in 2 Thessalonians. Yeah. He's going to return in flaming fire, dealing vengeance to those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Yeah. So those same people who shake their fists and mock him and say, where is he? That's part of the secret of God, that he doesn't visibly show himself, but oh, is he ever there? And we know that. We're studying this. We know that it's a secret. We know that the reason he's not showing up is not that he can't show up. It's not that he doesn't want to show up. It's that he's waiting for the perfect time to show up. And as you said, what does that say in that one verse, the appointed time? There was an appointed time when he's going to re-enter.
Yeah.
And people are not going to scoff anymore. And again, they'll be wishing for the days when God was invisible.
And in the next chapter, in Revelation 11, the saints fall on their faces and worship God, saying, we are thanking thee, O Lord God Almighty, which art and who wast, for thou hast taken thy great power and dost reign. This is the key here. And the nations are angered, and thy indignation came, and the era for the dead to be judged, and give their wages to thy slaves, the prophets, and to the saints, and to those fearing thy name, the small and the great, and to blight those who are what? Blighting the earth. God is no longer going to put up with it in that time.
Yeah, he's no longer, I love that, he's not any longer going to put up with the stubbornness, the disobedience, even though he himself makes people stubborn. Nevertheless, he has to reveal himself to people for their own sake. When his judgments are in the earth, the inhabitants of the earth learn righteousness.
Yeah.
So he's going to shake this planet, and he's going to return for Israel visibly with signs, wonders, legitimate signs, legitimate wonders, lightning, thunder. I mean, you know,
today
he prophesied that.
What does Paul call this day? Man's day. What is that future day called? The day of the Lord.
The day of the Lord. He's going to reveal himself, and then the secret of God will be passed. And you know what? That also depends on our being snatched away.
Yeah.
Think of all the things that our snatching away is hindering.
Mm-hmm.
We're hindering the secret of lawlessness from coming to full-blown fruition. We're hindering, you know, we're hindering Satan going back to his old tactics.
By all means, we should just get out of the way.
We should just get the heck out of here as soon
as
we leave.
Why don't we go now? Let's go now.
If we leave, it all comes down, man. And then the sooner we leave, the sooner it comes down, the sooner the kingdom gets.
Can we go now?
No, we have to finish the show. Look, we got more to say on this.
Oh, I was told we just got out of the way and let this.
Always got out of the way. Yeah, I wish it worked like that. 2 Corinthians 5:12, all is of God, 5:18, who conciliates us to himself through Christ and is giving us the dispensation of the conciliation, how that God was in Christ conciliating the world to himself. The secret of God is enhanced like tenfold in this day of peace, because now the blatant atheist can shake his fist at him and nothing happens.
Oh,
you can flip
God
off and nothing happens. You can curse him and nothing happens.
Yeah.
So what's their conclusion? Oh,
there is no God.
There is no God.
Yeah, he must.
What they don't know is he's storing it up. Even the Apostle Paul says, vengeance is mine, saith the Lord, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And Paul says concerning his old friend Alexander the coppersmith at the end of 2 Timothy,
God will deal with him.
God
later.
Will repay him. When's that going to happen? You mean, oh my gosh, God is like keeping track of all this stuff? You bet he is. Don't let the silence of God trick you into thinking he's not on it. Because if you do, then you are not savvy to the secret of God. The secret of God is he's invisible. But is he ever going to re-enter?
Boy, listen to this. And Paul, encouraging the Thessalonians, he says that you're... it's a display of the Thessalonians are going through.
This is what I call the unknown passage of Paul,
this is
right
what
here.
They were this going through afflictions, and Paul says, a display of the just judging of God to deem you worthy of the kingdom of God for which you are suffering also. If so be that it is just of God to repay affliction, to those who afflicting you, and to you who are being afflicted, ease with us. Now, when are those repaying? When is he going to repay affliction to those afflicting us?
It ain't happening now.
At the unveiling of our Lord Jesus from heaven with his powerful messengers in flaming fire, dealing out vengeance to those who are not acquainted with God and to those who are not obeying the evangel of our Lord Jesus Christ, who shall incur the justice of aeonian extermination. Going to be exterminated, as Curly would say.
Exterminated.
But notice, this is not the snatching away.
No.
This is him with the powerful messengers,
yes.
Flaming fire.
And we're having ease at the very time he's returning in flaming
we're
fire
and
dealing
ease.
Out vengeance.
And the Lord himself, no angels, comes for us.
Yeah.
But at his second coming to earth, he brings a whole host of butt kickers with him.
Yeah, and he kicks butt before that, too, because he's going to use the messengers to destroy things on this planet.
Oh man,
he's gonna kill people and break things when the messengers come back. These are the bowls and the wrath and all that. He's gonna kill people and break things. Yeah. And people think, oh, that can't be. Well, if you say that, you're just like these scoffers who don't realize that we're now in a window of grace. You know, we were born in this era. Like kids today who were born in the era of peace, they don't know that World War II generation that fought for our lives. Yeah. Well, people don't realize that it wasn't always peaches and cream here, administration of grace. There was a time when God killed people and lots of them. Well, this window of grace is going to close. The body of Christ is going to be snatched away. All these things we talked about are going to happen, and God is once again going to kill people and break things in vast quantities. This is the same God that killed every single person on the planet except 8 people. Do you know how many people were alive in the days of Noah? We researched this back in Pennsylvania.
Yeah,
8 billion people, the same number of people that are alive today.
Mm-hmm.
How's that? So God's going to do it again.
And that's what's going to be interesting in when you read the unveiling. It's almost like the nations are, Israel's going to be more populous than the nations.
Oh, yeah.
There's going to be so many of them wiped out that Israel's going to be the most populous nation. Imagine that.
Some Israelites are going to be killed, but then one-third of the whole Earth's population is going to be killed, and that's after a time that these other trials and bowls and wraths have already taken their toll. Listen, you ever see the movie Expelled with Ben Stein?
No,
it's about intelligent design. Well, he interviews this guy, Richard Dawkins.
Richard Dawkins? Yeah, I do.
He's like the poster Darryl boy
Dawkins
atheist.
Used to play for the 76ers,
right? That's his brother, right? Yeah. I don't know how one's black and one's white. I don't know how that worked out, but it was a nice try. Anyway, listen. This guy, he's your poster boy atheist. He's a go-to atheist, this Richard Dawkins.
Yeah.
Ben Stein asked him a really good question in that movie, right at the end. They're interviewing, and Ben Stein says to Richard Dawkins, what if you're wrong? What if there is a God? And you know what Richard Dawkins' answer was? He said, I would ask him, sir, why did you take such pains to hide yourself?
That's a good answer.
It actually is a good
answer. Not bad.
I think it is a good answer.
Kudos to Richard.
Kudos
now we got the rest
Richard
of the story
Dawkins.
For
we'll
you.
We'll end this show on kudos to Richard Dawkins, the poster boy atheist. And on that note, we will close up this series tomorrow.